Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends are all staying healthy in this time, and I hope that you are getting yourself ready for Thanksgiving, because it is a big holiday week, at least here in the States. Because yes, on Thursday, here, at least in the United States, we celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving. You know, it goes back to November 1621, after the first successful corn harvest, that Plymouth Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast. He invited a group of the colony's Native American allies, including Wampanoag Chief Massasoit, and the event is remembered as America's very first Thanksgiving. I mean, the Pilgrims likely never said anything about Thanksgiving or called it Thanksgiving. They didn't use any kind of Thanksgiving thing to describe that day, but I want you to keep this in mind. Their festival lasted for 3 days. Think about that tomorrow. Hey, forget shutting it down in the evening. We are going to keep this party going until Sunday. That's not a bad way to go. They might have had some things figured out there. However, Thanksgiving actually wouldn't become a national holiday until over 200 years later, because at the height of the Civil War, back in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln released a proclamation in which he entreated all Americans to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation on a day that he called Thanksgiving. Kind of sounds a little bit familiar to what we're dealing with now. I'm just going to throw that out there. Initially, President Lincoln actually scheduled Thanksgiving for the final Thursday in November, and it was celebrated on that day every year until 1939, when Franklin D. Roosevelt moved the holiday up a week in an attempt to get retail sales kickstarted during the Great Depression. Of course, it didn't fly. Roosevelt's plan actually was known as Franksgiving, and there was passionate opposition. So in 1941, the president reluctantly signed a bill making Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November, which carries on to this day. We celebrate Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November. Today, Thanksgiving centers on cooking and sharing a big meal with family and friends. Turkey has actually become synonymous with the day. In fact, nearly 90% of Americans eat turkey, whether it's roasted or baked or deep fried, on this day of Thanksgiving, at least according to the National Turkey Federation. Didn't even know they had one of those. By the way, I know that there's a little bit of a pushback these days against turkey. You hear people, oh, it's so dry. I hate turkey. I don't even like turkey. I'd rather have something else. Let me tell you this. If it's dry, you don't know how to cook. You better brine that thing. But other traditional foods include stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie. Parades are also a very, very big part of Thanksgiving here in the States. Presented by Macy's Department Store since 1924, New York City's Thanksgiving Day Parade is the largest and most famous parade on Thanksgiving. It attracts, they say, between 2 and 3 million spectators along its 2.5-mile route, and it draws an enormous television audience. Hey, we've all done it. You wake up on Thanksgiving morning, you go downstairs, you're kind of trying to eat light because, hey, we're going to brace up for the big meal later, and what do? You turn on the parade until football starts. It's all just part of the day. The parade typically features marching bands, performers, elaborate floats conveying various celebrities or various events, giant balloons that are shaped like cartoon characters. Hey, there is nothing like a 40-foot SpongeBob SquarePants to give thanks on the day of Thanksgiving. And of course, we know football is completely synonymous with Thanksgiving as well. I mean, since its inception back in 1920, the National Football League has played games on Thanksgiving Day, and they pretty much just patterned them on the historic playing of college football games on or around Thanksgiving Day. The NFL is like, hey, we're going to do that too. The NFL's Thanksgiving Day games have traditionally included one game hosted by the Detroit Lions, that goes back to 1934, and one game hosted by the Dallas Cowboys, that goes back to 1966, and then, since 2006, a third primetime game has also been moved into the schedule on Thanksgiving. And we have had some crazy, memorable games take place on Thanksgiving. I know that here at The Dose, I think we've even done a top five Thanksgiving Day games, and we talk about some of those crazy games. But, I mean, think of some of the memorable games that we have had. What about Minnesota Vikings rookie wide receiver Randy Moss just torching the Cowboys in 98 for three touchdowns? Or back in 1974, when Cowboys backup Clint Longley, great first name, came in for an injured Roger Staubach, and he led Dallas to a crazy comeback win over Washington. We had Buffalo Bills running back O.J. Simpson racking up 273 yards rushing by slicing and dicing the Detroit Lions defense back in 76.
Oh, no, you didn't.
In a game, I might add, that Detroit actually won. In 1980, Chicago Bears running back Dave Williams returned the overtime opening kickoff 95 yards for a game-winning touchdown that ended the shortest overtime period in NFL history at the time. It was 13 seconds. We've also had some really infamous moments on Thanksgiving, too. The Dallas Cowboys played the Miami Dolphins in snow. It was actually in Dallas back in 93, and the Dolphins attempted a game-winning field goal, which was blocked by the Cowboys. Unfortunately, Cowboys player Leon Lett touched the ball. Miami recovered afterward, and they were able to attempt another kick, which they made and won the game. Who could forget referee Phil Luckett screwing up the overtime coin toss for the Pittsburgh Steelers in their 98 game versus the Detroit Lions?
Call it plays in the air. Heads is the call. He said heads, it is a tails.
Oh, I believe he said tails. He did.
How do you mess up a coin toss? I don't know, but he did it. Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh stomped a Packer offensive lineman's leg on Thanksgiving. And of course, there is always the infamous butt fumble when in 2012, the New York Jets were facing the New England Patriots, and late in the game, Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez ran into his own offensive lineman's butt. He kind of got de-cleated. He fumbled the ball, which of course was returned by the Patriots for a Thanksgiving Day touchdown. Now, will we have memorable moments this season? I mean, who knows? Just for you to keep in mind, tomorrow the early game will feature the Chicago Bears going to Detroit to face the Lions. Should be terrible, but it's Thanksgiving, so you never know. Then, the Las Vegas Raiders will be facing the Dallas Cowboys. That game actually has a chance to be good. I'll be honest, I'm kind of expecting a second half collapse of the season for the Raiders, but we'll see if they can keep up with that Dallas offense. Finally, tomorrow night, as we are all stuffed with turkey and pumpkin pie, we get the Buffalo Bills, who are now kind of struggling, going to the Big Easy to play the New Orleans Saints. Again, I don't know if this is a great Thanksgiving Day lineup, but that doesn't mean we won't have a memorable game. We have had so many memorable moments in Thanksgiving Day games, it's hard to say. We could end up with another moment like that tomorrow. Here is hoping for the best. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and maybe tell us your favorite Thanksgiving football moment of all time, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you need a little advice. Make sure you drop us a line and send in whatever you have. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure that you are stopping by dailydosesports.com at least once a week. Maybe two or three times a week, but at least once a week, and checking out some of the new articles that are going up there every week. I am releasing a Daily Doses every Tuesday. Usually has a pretty strong local flavor to it, but it could be about anything. And then our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, is posting a new article on Thursdays. If you didn't see his latest article about a fight by Muhammad Ali that kind of gets forgotten in the history books, I would encourage you, stop by dailydosesports.com and check out what we have going on over there. Plus, you can always find a link to the podcast. You can find a link to the YouTube video. You can find a link to the Daily Dose gear. Be sure you are stopping by dailydosesports.com. And as long as the holiday shopping is now, officially upon us. Because, hey, the holidays are like here. Now, make sure you go by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear for those people that are on your holiday shopping list. We have a couple of designs you can choose from over there. We've got hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts. You can get a pillow. You can get a tapestry for your wall. A number of Daily Dose items that are available for you over at tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose and you will find exactly what you need to knock some of those shopping items off of your holiday shopping list. Make sure you get those done. Hey, today on the show, got some sports news that we need to talk today. Few things coming out in the world of sports that are actually pretty notable. I actually have a bit of an apology to make. And then, hey, it's Thanksgiving week. Here at The Dose, we have so much to be thankful for. We are going to be talking about some of those specific things that we are thankful for this year. And we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today in honor of Thanksgiving as well. And I will pre-warn you, I'm going to go ahead and call my shot before I take my shot. It might be one of our more controversial top fives ever. So make sure you hang in for that. But first off, let's jump into a few stories that are coming out in the world of sports news. Not sure if you saw this, but HBO has released their new season of Hard Knocks. They released it last week. I know that we're used to Hard Knocks coming out and it's training camp and it's summer. And then right as the season begins, Hard Knocks is over. Well, Hard Knocks in season featuring the Indianapolis Colts is a look at a team actually going through their season. And unlike the typical Hard Knocks series that does end when the season begins, this keeps going and we kind of follow the twists and the turns of the season, of the players, of the coaches in the locker room, at their homes, in the meeting rooms. You get an inside look at how things are going during the season. And this year they are following the Indianapolis Colts. So I tuned in to kind of see how it would look. I love watching sports documentary stuff. I tune into that stuff as much as possible. So I did watch the first episode. And I have a few observations that could sway your decision about whether or not you want to watch this. For one, the Indianapolis Colts seem like they are getting better every single week. It seems like they are improving. They had a really slow start, but it seems like they're kind of starting to figure things out. They are getting better. For two, the Indianapolis Colts have to be one of the most boring teams in the entire league. I mean, I'm not hating on them or anything. They just don't have a ton of characters on that squad. Quarterback Carson Wentz, I don't know, he kind of looks like Prince Harry. Honestly, he's kind of a dork. He probably eats like mayonnaise sandwiches. Running back Jonathan Taylor is really, really good, as we saw on Sunday. But also, he's not real outspoken. He's kind of quiet, just goes about his business. He's kind of boring. Great guy to have on your team. Not a great guy to be on TV. He's just not a TV kind of guy. Head coach Frank Reich, again, nice guy. Talks a lot about his faith, but not a big personality. Okay, so this sounds boring, right? I won't lie. It kind of was. But let me give you just a small glimmer of hope. Because what do you think of when I say the name of Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay?
Huge drunk.
Wait, you know who I'm talking about, right? Jim Irsay, really colorful owner of the Colts now.
Oh, big old booze head.
Okay, you know who I mean though, right? His dad was the owner of the Colts back in the day, and then he left the team to Jim, and Jim has now taken it over.
Oh, he's a good guy. He, one time when I was hitchhiking, he came by and picked me up, and we went down that place, you know, Eddie's One More Time. We were trading shots. He's a great guy. Okay. Is he here?
Yeah, that's the guy. Well, at one point in the show, the Colts get a big win, and all of the players and the coaches are in the locker room celebrating, and in comes Jim Irsay. And when he walks in, you can feel like the temperature change in the room. And it's like the principal just walked into the classroom. No matter how cool you are with your teacher, everybody kind of stands up straight, right? Well, everyone gets all quiet, and Irsay staggers in. He's all red-faced. He's all sweaty, and he goes, I just want to say one thing. And then he starts banging on the table and singing Queen's We Will Rock You. And the players are looking at each other, and you can tell they don't want to do it. But I mean, he is the guy that signs their paychecks, so they half-heartedly kind of, we will rock you. And they're looking at each other, and they're laughing, and they don't want to do it, but they don't have a choice. Hey, I'm not sure that this series will be worth your time to watch at all, unless you are like a diehard Colts fan. And even then, it might be iffy. But I'm going to be honest with you. I just might have to tune in for Jim Irsay, because he might do anything. We don't know what he's capable of. I think he just might make this series a whole lot better, and I might have to tune in just for him. Moving over to college football, it was announced last week that Michigan State is closing in on signing head coach Mel Tucker to a 10-year, $95 million extension. That is according to the Detroit Free Press. The impending deal would make Tucker the second highest paid coach in all of college football, just behind Alabama's Nick Saban. Tucker would make $9.5 million per season. Saban is making $9.7 million per season. The new figure is a bump up from the $5.6 million that he's making this year. Now, they say the reason for this is because Mel Tucker could be on a few colleges' short list to fill their head coaching vacancies. The Free Press reports that two alumni members will donate the private funding to the school for Tucker's reworked contract. Now, Tucker is 49. He emerged on the scene as a member of Saban's staff back in 2015 before serving as Georgia's defensive coordinator from 2016 to 2018. He was actually named Colorado head coach back in 2018. He went 5-7 in his lone season in Boulder, and then he bolted for East Lansing the very first chance that he got. And I've told you before, I don't blame him. Michigan State is way more of a football school than Boulder, Colorado will ever be. Sparty snuck in and they lured him away. But now Michigan State is getting nervous. They know that Tucker might take the money and run again. Of course, no sooner did Sparty put this offer on the table than Mel and his Michigan State squad went to Columbus, and Ohio State absolutely beat the brakes off of Michigan State 56-7. Now, I know what Michigan State is telling themselves. Hey, Tucker doesn't have his own players yet. It was a rough week, but he's still the guy we want long term. Well, we'll see, because remember that Tucker went just 5-7 in Boulder. Then last year, he went 2-5 in the COVID season. I mean, the Spartans are now 9-2 this year, but these aren't Mel's players. I get the feeling that Mel Tucker might have been looking for his pen at halftime on Saturday to hurry up and sign that contract before Michigan State takes it back. I don't know if he's truly worthy of being one of the top paid coaches in the country, but it looks like he's going to be. Staying in college football, the Florida Gators announced on Sunday that they would be firing head coach Dan Mullen. Running backs and special teams coordinator Greg Knox is going to be filling in as interim head coach for one game and then possibly a bowl game. After a 3-1 start, the Gators have lost 5 straight games to Power 5 opponents. They are 5-9 against Power 5 teams dating back to last season. That's not good. Mullen was in his 4th season at Florida, and don't forget, he had the Gators in the SEC championship game just a year ago. But they will now need to beat Florida State on Saturday just to avoid a losing record this year. You know, when you look at what Florida has done after Urban Meyer left in 2010, the Gators went out and they hired Will Muschamp. Well, Muschamp has proven he's not a great head coach. Good defensive coordinator, not a great head coach. Then Florida hired Colorado State head coach Jim McElwain, which, honestly, you can go back and you can listen to the dose in those days. I called that a mistake then. McElwain couldn't beat Air Force. What was he going to do in the SEC? And of course, at Florida, he crashed and he burned. Okay, so those are two bad hires. But it sure seems like Dan Mullen could coach. He won at Mississippi State. He made Dak Prescott. So why did this situation go so bad? Well, Mullen consistently lost top recruits, and it's not just that he lost them. He lost them to teams like Georgia and Kentucky and Tennessee and Alabama. Hey, that hurts. But then he made it known he was kind of looking at the NFL. Okay, that doesn't help. And then he's pulling his team off the field. They're not singing the alma mater, which is kind of a sacred tradition at Florida. Plus, then you do lose to LSU. You get hammered by Georgia. You don't even compete. You lose to South Carolina. You lose to Missouri. You barely held off Samford at home. So yeah, this went sour really, really fast. Now, some of this is the expectations of Florida. They want titles, and they're not going to be happy with anything less. So they may need to adjust those expectations, but Florida needs to hit a home run with their next hire. Here's the bad thing to think about. LSU, Florida, USC, Virginia Tech, Washington, TCU, Washington State, and Florida International are all looking for a new head coach already. That's not even counting the schools we know are going to fire people. So who is actually going to land the head coach they really want? Because this hiring and firing and rehiring, it's an ugly cycle and it costs you years in recruiting. And if you are a PJ Fleck, or maybe you're a Luke Fickell, why in the world would you want to go to one of these schools with all of those expectations? Some of these schools think they're going to get their next great coach. And I am telling you right now, some of these schools are going to be bitterly disappointed when it all comes down. Okay, coming back, I need to make an apology to one specific college football program. And then it is Thanksgiving, and we are going to be giving you a number of things that we here at the Daily Dose have to give thanks for. We still have a lot to get to today on the Dose. One more story in college football this week, and I actually need to issue a bit of an apology. No, I'm not apologizing to Cincinnati for not putting them in my top four a few weeks ago. Cincinnati did finally get a blowout this past weekend against SMU. Hey, good for them. But that doesn't change the way I felt about them at the time. I'm certainly not apologizing to Notre Dame, who I still think is a dark horse to sneak into the college football playoff. And hey, this past weekend, they blew out 3-7 Georgia Tech. And don't look now, but the media is acting like that was impressive. Me, I don't. I sure don't need to apologize to the Pac-12, who I have said probably wouldn't have much of a chance to make the college football playoff all season. Well, on Saturday, number 3 Oregon got taken to the woodshed by number 23 Utah, ending pretty much any chance for the Pac-12 for the college football playoff with a huge exclamation point. No, I actually need to apologize to the Iowa State Cyclones. On Saturday, Iowa State went to Norman to face the number 13 Oklahoma Sooners, and after trailing 21-7 at one point, the Cyclones somehow clawed their way back. They got the lead down to 28-21, and they had the ball late, and they were driving. Now, all season, here on the Dose, I have been telling you that I keep hearing how good Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy is, but that every time I actually tune in to watch him, he's horrible. I don't know what all the hype is, because every time I watch him, I'm like, this is the guy? Him? I don't see it. Well, on Saturday, I wasn't watching Iowa State and Oklahoma. I was actually watching Ohio State dragging Michigan State up and down the field. And then every once in a while, I would turn over to Clemson and Wake Forest. But I wasn't watching the Cyclones and the Sooners really at all. But then, when I saw that Iowa State had caught up, and there was only like a minute left to play, I flipped the TV over to that game. And immediately, things went as I thought they would. And I'm telling you, I even texted I-Team President Big Rob, and I said, Rob, I'm turning the TV to Iowa State. Watch, Purdy will screw this up. Like 20 seconds after sending that text, Purdy threw an interception that ended the game. Now, I don't know what's going on. I can't explain it. But I want to apologize to Iowa State. Because if I hadn't turned the channel, maybe Purdy would have led Iowa State to an upset win, to a great win over Oklahoma. That would have been amazing for Brock Purdy and the Iowa State Cyclones. instead. I turned the channel. Purdy did what he does. And you know what? It's not just that game on Saturday. That's not where it ends. Because do you know where this ends for me? This probably ends with my Denver Broncos drafting Brock Purdy and bringing him to Denver this spring and naming him the starter immediately. Because, I mean, that's just how life works. Okay, kids, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow. And hey, let's all be honest. With all the COVID stuff and just life in general, it's been a tough road lately. But here's the thing. Every once in a while, it really does help to stop looking at all the negativity, stop looking at all the divisiveness, and just focus on a few good things. They even tell you this. It is good for your physical and mental health to think about what you do have in life, to be thankful, to be grateful for what you have in life. Today, on The Daily Dose, we are going to focus on some of the things that we here at The Dose are thankful for. And even during these difficult times, even during these weird times, we have a lot to be thankful for. First off, I of course am thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for all of those things. But you know what else I'm thankful for? I told you before in the show, I'm thankful for Thanksgiving, a holiday that is literally just gluttony and football. I mean, when you think about it in those terms, Thanksgiving is the most American of all holidays. And sometimes it kind of gets overlooked. I mean, we jump from Halloween straight to Christmas, take down the Halloween decorations, up go the Christmas trees. We just forget all about Thanksgiving. Now, while I will give the 4th of July a close second, just for the firepower, just for the fact that we have drunk people with explosives, it gets a second. But honestly, gluttony and football? Oh, that is number one for me. And here's the other thing about Thanksgiving that I'm thankful for. Because the 4th of July forces us to get off of our couch. Thanksgiving doesn't. Thanksgiving isn't biased in that way. You stay in that lazy boy. You watch that TV. You don't have to get up. You sit there and you stuff your face with turkey and potatoes and pumpkin pie. Hey, that's a clear winner. Happy Thanksgiving, and God bless America. Now, like I said, we have gone through the ringer a bit with a global pandemic at all, but I'm thankful for the advancements in medicine that are being made in that regard. But another thing that I'm thankful for this year, how great is it to see fans in the stands again? I mean, from Major League Baseball to college football to the NFL to the NBA to the NHL, I mean, unless you're in Canada or whatever, to college basketball, we have kind of taken for granted the fact that fans are just in the stands all the time until we went through all this. We've taken for granted the noise they make, the excitement that they bring to the game itself, the chants and the tailgating and the signs at college game day that say things like, Georgia fans still go to Blockbuster, or Nick Saban sleeps with his socks on. You know, last year, we didn't get this stuff. It was dead and it was quiet. And as much as we love getting some kind of sports back, it wasn't nearly as much fun. And you know, the best part about having fans back in the stands this year, as much as some people told us that this was going to lead to massive outbreaks, Fauci, none of that has proven to be true. Because cases aren't spiking after these games. We're not seeing this big influx of COVID after these games. It's not happening. I love having fans back at the games. And with playoffs coming, bowl games coming, tournaments coming, that is truly something to be thankful for this year. You know, I'm thankful for the news that is coming out that the NCAA is looking to expand their current playoff format in college football. Did you see this? Sports media personality Dan Patrick said last week that per a source, an expansion of the college football playoff is coming. But get this. They say it is going to expand to 12 teams, that it has already been approved, but they want to change it already next season, not further out. Now, per Dan Patrick, If it's not approved this December, then the playoff would not be a go with 12 teams until 2025, but they are hoping to get it done for next year. Now, personally, I think 12 teams is too many. But I'm also of the opinion that 4 teams isn't enough. 4 teams is just one game past the BCS, and I hated the BCS. So 12 is better than that. You know, every year, we are kind of stuck in college football saying, you know, what if number 5 got in? What if number 6 got in? What if they could put a team in from a smaller conference because they weren't so concerned about, well, we got to get the big numbers, we got to get the big TV ratings. What if a Cincinnati did get in? What if a Central Florida did get in? This would open up those doors a little more. We have seen the number 4 seed win the whole thing. Is it that far-fetched to think one of those teams that just barely didn't make it might make some noise? I don't think so. Now, is 12 teams too many? Probably. Think about that this year. Right now, and I know this will still move around some, but right now with 12 teams in, here would be your opening round of games in the college football playoff. Number 1 Georgia versus number 12 Michigan State. Okay. I'm not sure that would go well for Mel Tucker. He had better have signed that contract by then. Number 2 Ohio State versus number 11 Oregon. That's a rematch of the Ducks who beat the Buckeyes to start the season. Hey, both of those teams look very, very different now. That'd be an interesting game. You'd have number 3 Alabama versus number 10 Oklahoma. That might be a lot of fun. You would have number 4 Cincinnati versus number 9 Baylor. That'd be an interesting game. Number 5 Notre Dame versus number 8 Mississippi. Yeah, Lane Kiffin talking trash about the Fighting Irish. Please, I'd sign up for that now. You'd have number 6 Michigan versus number 7 Oklahoma State. Now, do I think 12 teams is too many? Yeah, I would prefer 8 teams. But I would take 12 teams over 4 teams. And so I am thankful that college football playoff expansion is coming. And it sounds like it could be coming very, very soon. You know what else I'm thankful for? And it's something that we just kind of take for granted. I'm thankful for sports rivalries. I know that we are supposed to go one game at a time and respect every opponent and all of those sports cliches that we hear all the time. But man, when it is a rivalry, somehow the entire week just hits different. For the Boston Red Sox this year to beat the New York Yankees in the wildcard game, it just meant more. No, they might not have won the World Series, but they beat the Yankees. How sweet was that? They hate each other. So do the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. Think about all the rivalries we have in college football. We get the Egg Bowl tomorrow night. Don't forget about that game, by the way. Mississippi versus Mississippi State might be very, very good. But this weekend, we have North Carolina versus North Carolina State. Washington State versus Washington. Ohio State versus Michigan, which has college football playoff implications all over it. It's a down year, but we have Florida State versus Florida. Alabama versus Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Wisconsin versus Minnesota. Don't forget Army versus Navy will be coming in a few weeks too. It doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't even matter how your season is going. Because you can save your season if you just beat that rival. Hey, we're only 4-7 this year, but we beat our rival. Oh, well, then your crimes have been forgiven because you beat that arch rival. In college basketball, we have Duke and North Carolina. We have Syracuse and Georgetown. We have Michigan versus Michigan State. In the NBA, we have Celtics versus Lakers, and it is a good one. In the NFL, we have Ravens versus Steelers, Cowboys versus Eagles, Broncos against Raiders, Packers versus Bears, just to name a few. In the NHL, you have Islanders versus Rangers or Canadians versus Maple Leafs. Rivalries in sports, they just raise the intensity level another notch, as though we needed another notch, but they raise it just a little bit more and a little bit more. And now you're going, oh man, this is the biggest game of the entire year. We have to win this game. Sports rivalries are absolutely amazing. And I am totally grateful for those every single year. Speaking of that Egg Bowl, tomorrow night, like I said, Don't forget to flip over and watch a few minutes of that game. It starts at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So before the primetime game, Buffalo versus New Orleans, kicks off, you might want to just kind of switch over and see how that game is looking between number 12, Ole Miss, and number 25, Mississippi State. But I'll be honest, and this might sound crazy, I'm thankful for the Egg Bowl. I'm not sure this game is honestly going to mean that much in the college football playoff this year. We don't have 12 teams getting in. Neither one of these teams is on the cusp of getting in. You'd have to have a lot of cards fall for a team like this to get in. But I'm still thankful for the Egg Bowl, because this game is between two of the craziest but most highly entertaining coaches in college football. Ole Miss has Lane Kiffin, a guy that was hired by the Raiders at the age of just 31. And of course, then he was fired quickly. Then he got the Tennessee job. He took some shots at Urban Meyer, and then he was fired quickly. He got the USC job, and then he got fired on the airplane tarmac. But Lane Kiffin can coach offense, and he is doing it at Ole Miss. And I've said this before, but I really believe Lane Kiffin's quarterback, Matt Corral, I think he's the best quarterback in college football this year. And that might sound crazy, especially when you see this kid. He's not this giant guy. He's not this big Peyton Manning kid. He's kind of just gritty and gutty, and he goes out and he makes all the plays, and he's a tough kid. And then on the other side, you have crazy Mike Leach coaching at Mississippi State. And for as crazy as Leach is, and for all of his talk about UFOs and candy corns and locking Craig James' kid in an equipment shed, make no mistake about this. Mike Leach wins. He wins wherever he goes. He won at Texas Tech. That's not an easy place to win. He won at Washington State. That's not an easy place to win. And he is winning at Mississippi State. Kiffin versus Leach tomorrow? Yeah, that's kind of the perfect dessert for Thanksgiving Day. I want to see these two psychos go at it again. Last year, we had a crazy Egg Bowl. This year, we might have an even crazier Egg Bowl, because both of these teams can play a little bit. And both of these coaches are pretty good. And also, they're both nuts. So I'm thankful for the Egg Bowl. Okay, coming back. We still have a couple of things that we need to talk about being thankful for this year. Plus, we need to get over to our Thanksgiving Daily Dose Top 5. No, we're not going to do a historical look back at Thanksgiving or anything like that. But here's something for you to think about. Turkey Day is tomorrow. Who have been the biggest sports turkeys of 2021? We'll get to that when we get back.
Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free shipping with the code 20DOSE. That is 20DOSE at manscaped.com. Daily Dose host Clint Daly is one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and we have been blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. There are no nicks or cuts when using this new trimmer. There's no blood on your bathroom floor or band-aids being put on strange parts of your body. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. If you're still trimming your face with the same trimmer as you used to trim other areas, it's time to make some changes in your life. And you know the best thing about trimming the bushes. It makes the tree seem larger.
Wait. We don't need to go into all that. I mean, you just read the ad. We don't need that commentary about trees or bushes or flowers or any of that.
I'm just saying that every little bit counts.
I'm just saying we pay you to read the ad. You don't need to add your own thoughts to the ad.
You barely pay me at all.
Can you just finish the ad? Finish the ad as we wrote it, please.
Fine. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 20DOSE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use 20DOSE. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
So let's finish up with a few of the things that we are thankful for this year at Thanksgiving in the world of sports. And I'm going to say something that might sound a little bit crazy, but bear with me. I am thankful for college football bowl games.
What?
I know. Don't get me wrong. There are way too many of them. And more importantly, there are way too many bad ones. But I want you to think about this for just a second. You know how it's like almost Christmas, or maybe it's that week after Christmas, right before New Year's comes, and you're just kind of chilling at home one night. You're not really doing anything. The party isn't happening. You're just at home. You're just eating pizza and you're flipping through the channels and you happen upon like the Motor City Bowl or like the Weed Eater Bowl or whatever. And like San Diego State is in the middle of some crazy shootout with like Virginia. And it's a wild back and forth game. It has a great finish. It goes to overtime. It's a wild, wild game. Those bowl games, I am thankful for. Now, having said that, out of about 40 games, I think we're around 40, 42, something like that, bowl games, there are like three or four of those. But still, when they do happen, they are absolutely amazing. Because you had nothing going on that night. And all of a sudden, you just happen to fall into a game that is incredible. You're texting your friends. Are you watching this? Do you see this game? This is crazy. How's this going to end? And there's the Hail Mary, and there's a big score, and it goes to another period, and there's another tie, and there's a last second field goal, and you're going, this is amazing. I love those bowl games. They're few and far between, but when they happen, I am very, very thankful for them. You know, I'm thankful this year that it is looking, everything is pointing toward March Madness being back. And you know, it should be back in all of its glory with wild games and upsets and buzzer beaters. Don't get me wrong. Last year was still fun as far as the games. And if you kind of forgot last year, and I wouldn't blame you. I mean, the Baylor Bears just shot the lights out last year on their way to winning it all. And as starving as we were for sports to be back, I mean, it was still good. But without fans in the stands, it definitely had a different feel to it. Well, this year, I'm happy for these kids. And I'm happy for these coaches. And I'm happy for these fans and these students at these universities that go to these games. But I'm happy for these people that have worked so hard to get back to a very exciting time of year. March Madness should be great this year. We should have people in the stands. We should have full-on college basketball back to its fullest. And you kind of forget what that looked like. And I can't wait for that. Also, don't forget, we've got a number of storylines. Don't forget Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. He's in his final season. There is going to be some big-time excitement at the big dance this year. Can Coach K go out on top? Can someone knock them off? We might have to start talking a little bit more about basketball very, very soon here at the Dose, but I am grateful that it looks like we are going to have March Madness back and back in the way it should be back. Now, I know I probably say this every year, but man, I'm thankful for the NFL. Think of how good this season has already been. Every week, people who have been following this league for decades struggle to predict what will happen. All the experts, here's what's going to happen this week. They don't get it right. I mean, who picked the Colts to just throttle the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday? Nobody. Who picked the Vikings to beat the Packers? Or that Kirk Cousins would somehow outduel Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was phenomenal on Sunday. Who predicted that one? Did anyone predict that the 1-8 Houston Texans would beat the 8-2 Tennessee Titans? No. Tennessee was favored by double digits, but it happened. And I know that we say on any given Sunday, but it happens almost every single Sunday. Think of some of the crazy games we have had this year. Some of the fun games that we have had this year. The season opened with a shootout between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, opening night, great, but now we get into the boring regular season. No, it hasn't been that at all. We had the wild overtime game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. We had the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Ravens in a crazy shootout in week two. The Green Bay Packers slipped past the San Francisco 49ers in primetime in week three. Tom Brady went into New England. He actually had to battle a scrappy Patriots team to get a tough win in his old home stadium. I mean, the NFL has had amazing games. It has had wild upsets. And now we're just finishing up week 11. We are hitting the stretch run on our way to those NFL playoffs. And do not forget, the NFL playoffs have been expanded this year. We have more games. We're going to have 14 teams make the postseason. We're going to get all those games. We get a Saturday game. We get a Sunday game. We get a Monday night playoff game opening weekend. It's going to be absolutely amazing. The NFL just keeps us entertained year round, from the combine to free agency to the draft to preseason and training camp to the regular season and into the playoffs. I know the NFL screws up a lot of things, but you can't argue that the NFL is king. It is America's league, and it is so good every single year. I am absolutely thankful for the NFL. Finally, I know I say this every year, but it is true. I am thankful for our Daily Dose listeners and Daily Dose supporters. Thank you for checking out The Dose each week. Thank you for watching the videos, for reading the articles, for listening to the podcast, which, by the way, I might add, is nearing 7 years of existence. Just as a podcast, not as the radio stuff, just as a podcast, we are closing in on a 7-year anniversary. That is absolutely mind-blowing. And I know that I say thank you each week for the texts and the emails and the comments that we receive. And I'll be honest, sometimes those messages that we get are telling me I'm an idiot, but that's all right. We can agree to disagree. But I'm thankful for the interaction. I'm thankful that you take the time to listen. I'm thankful that you take the time to write or to share the show, or some of you to appear on the show and to come in and make an appearance with me on The Dose, to send in articles or to share articles with your friends, or maybe to send in ideas you have for top five or for a story. To all of you listening to The Daily Dose on Thanksgiving, thank you. Genuinely, it is appreciated. Now, as we do so many weeks here at The Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. Five! Hey, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. We've talked about it today. But a holiday that is basically just food and football, yeah, I'd be fine with more holidays like that. Well, in celebration of Turkey Day today, as we have done many times in the past, we thought this year we would hand out our Daily Dose top five sports turkeys of 2021. And I will tell you right now, this list might make you angry. It might make you want to cuss me out, but there have been some really big turkeys in sports this year, as usual. And here at The Dose, when we see those kinds of people, well, we like to point and laugh at those people. So let's jump in to the Daily Dose top five 2021 sports turkeys. By the way, I apologize for the voice this week. My voice was fine as I started the podcast. It's just kind of gone downhill throughout the show, having these points where I just can't talk. I apologize. It's not a plan. I don't have COVID or anything, but I'm losing my voice. I don't know if it's an allergy thing or what's going on, but my voice is going downhill. I apologize in advance. Okay, let's jump into our top five. Starting off at number five. Today on The Dose, we've talked about some of the things that we are thankful for. And one of the things that I am truly thankful for is the National Football League. It is exciting. Every single week, we're glued to it. And we're glued to it in the offseason and during free agency and during the NFL draft and training camp and the season and all the way to the Super Bowl. We can't stop watching the NFL. But I have to give a turkey of the year to the front office of the NFL. Because there are very clearly some weird things going on up there. I mean, from the release of private emails of former Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Gruden fan by any means. I think he's probably a horrible person. But those are private emails. And then we have the handling of whatever it is that is going on in the front office of the Washington football team, where they won't release any of the emails. They won't release any of the information, even though female employees that worked for the Washington football team say they were harassed, say they were subjected to all sorts of crazy nonsense from male employees. But the NFL is just like, hey, nothing to see here. Sorry, we can't make any of that public. Sorry about that. Well, your methods seem to be kind of arbitrary, don't they? Why are one batch of emails released, which totally crushes a man's career and his reputation, but then others are not released, which could be really, really problematic for an entire franchise? I mean, it makes me think of Chris Rock's old bit about the difference between being rich and being wealthy. John Gruden is rich. Washington football team owner Daniel Snyder is wealthy. And so the NFL isn't releasing those emails? It seems kind of weird. And for that, the NFL, as much as we love it, is still our number five turkey this year. We move next to number four on our list of the biggest sports turkeys of 2021. And we reach one of the most talented players in the history of the NBA. And no, for a change this year, I'm not talking about LeBron James. Not this year. Probably some other point, but not right now. But here is a guy that is highly respected on the floor for what he did during his career. He won titles. He could play at both ends, and he could dominate at both ends. In his prime, he was one of the greatest defenders in the history of the league, and he was such a matchup problem for whoever had to deal with him. Now, could he be like a petulant child at some points? Yeah, for sure. When Scottie Pippen refused to get surgery because he was mad at the Chicago Bulls front office, I mean, it was just petty. When he pouted on the bench as teammate Tony Kukoc hit the game-winning shot against the New York Knicks in 1994, I mean, it was just selfish. Well, those moves had nothing over Pippen's book Unguarded that was released this year. Pippen now says that Phil Jackson was a racist for giving Kukoc the last shot. I mean, forget that Phil Jackson is one of the greatest coaches ever. Forget that Tony Kukoc was a really clutch player. It was racist. He also says Charles Barkley wasn't really a tough guy. A lot of us saw Charles Barkley play. He was a pretty tough guy. He also says Michael Jordan was lucky to have him as a teammate, or Mike wouldn't have been a star. Okay, so many things to unpack here. First off, Michael Jordan was already a star. No one knew who you were. Mike made you. If you go back and you watch the evolution of Scottie Pippen as a player in the NBA, he was a scared little boy, especially in the postseason whenever he faced the Detroit Pistons. He would look for an excuse to get out of the game. There were even rumors that maybe he was faking injury so he didn't have to play. Michael toughened you up. I don't think Michael gets nearly enough credit for basically building Scottie Pippen. But more than break down any of those individual ludicrous claims that you've made, let's be real clear about what this is. Scottie Pippen is not Michael Jordan. He's never been Michael Jordan. He is Robin to Michael's Batman. And even now, I mean, Michael releases The Last Dance and people go crazy for it. Scottie releases this book and everyone's like, eh, who cares? He looks like Chester Cheeto anyway.
It's not easy being cheesy.
You make these wild claims because you want us to talk about you. But it won't change the fact that you're still just Robin. You're not Batman. You'll never be Batman. Chester Cheeto, or Scottie Pippen, comes in today at number four because you're still that petty, spoiled, whiny baby. And nothing has changed. You're still trying to make yourself into something you're not. And for that, you come in today on our list as the number four turkey of the year. We move to number three. And we reach a player that when he was coming out of college, we all swore this guy might be destined for greatness. Because remember when Odell Beckham Jr. came out of LSU and he was drafted by the New York Giants And he had those first three seasons where he was just dominant. And he had that crazy one-handed catch while falling down in that primetime game against the Dallas Cowboys. Remember that? Can you name anything of note that he's done since those three seasons? Because his teams rarely ever win games. And he rarely does anything except for be disruptive to whatever team he's on. Remember when he was with the Giants? He had a video posted that might have shown him in a hotel room, possibly with a hooker, maybe with a big plate full of cocaine on the table. And so he ended up out of New York. He left and he went to Cleveland, where he never really did much of anything. And then this year, his father posted a video on social media saying the Browns are just refusing to throw to him. And so then, along with some help from LeBron James, you knew it would come back to LeBron eventually, he has now moved to Los Angeles, and Odell Beckham Jr. is a Los Angeles Ram. So how will things go in LA? Will Beckham get back to the way he used to be in the early part of his career? Well, if history is any indicator, and I believe that it usually is, I can tell you how this is going to go. He will probably underachieve. He will probably be hurt a lot. He will probably rack up some fines for uniform violations, silly things, nonsensical things. And once again, Odell Beckham Jr. will probably win nothing because we have a track record to follow. We can see that's how it's gone at every stop. Odell Beckham Jr. is our number three turkey of the year. And I think we already know how it's going to end for him this year. We move next to our number two sports turkey of 2021. And we reach a sport that I absolutely love. You know, we've already talked a little bit about it today, but I love college football. I really do. I love the excitement. I love the passion of the college football fans. I love the signs and the chants and the tradition. I love that college kids don't rest on their laurels in the games. I mean, they play hard. They play fast every single week because they're trying to make it. I love that aspect of college football. I love college game day shows up and we see all the signs and the team is walking to the stadium. And most every single school has like crazy rituals that happen every single weekend. College football is just so much fun. But I have to take them to task this year on one very specific thing. Now, maybe this is just because kids are so excited to be back in the stands this year. I don't know what it is. But I want you to think about this for a second. When the number six team in the country beats the number 21 team in the country, I mean, you don't rush the field, right? You were favored in the game. You were supposed to win the game. But Oklahoma fans storm the field when they beat Texas. When you are the number three team in the country and you beat the number four team in the country, you don't rush the field, right? I mean, you were the favored team. But Iowa fans ran the field when they beat Penn State. That's not where it ends. Kansas Jayhawks fans storm the field when they beat an FCS team. Okay, this is getting out of hand. Colorado fans storm the field when they beat 5-4 Oregon State. Can you imagine at the beginning of the year? We've talked about sports rivalries a little bit today. Can you imagine at the beginning of the year, Colorado coaches being like, kids, I don't care what we do this year. We have got to beat Oregon State. No, no one's saying that. Baylor fans storm the field before they actually beat Oklahoma. There are actually still a few seconds remaining on the clock. Again, I love the excitement of college football. But can we please save these rushing the field episodes for actual upsets? Or at least for something worthwhile? Beating a team you should beat isn't worthy of storming the field. Just winning like an average game, it's not worthy of storming the field. Save that for the important games. Save that for the big upsets, for the last second comebacks. Save it for that. Other than that, I mean, act like you were supposed to win. Because a lot of times, you were. Charging the field every single week gets college football fans our number two turkey of 2021. Sorry to do that to you. I really am. But you're kind of a turkey if you're running the field after every single game. Have more respect for yourselves. We reach our number one entry this week for our top five turkeys of 2021. And we arrive at one that is particularly painful, but one that is so overwhelmingly deserving that I had to put it here. And I'm telling you right now, buckle up, kids. This might be a bumpy ride. I have to hand out our number one turkey in sports to those people and those stations and those podcasts and those media members that try to drag politics into sports at every chance that they get. Now, look, you might sit there and you might say, hey, politics should be in sports. It gives a platform to athletes to have their voices heard. And while I understand that sentiment, I do. I'm reaching a point in my life where I completely disagree. Let me ask you a question, Daily Dose listener. Do you enjoy politics in sports? And honestly, I'm not sure that I had really thought that much about that question until this past year or two. Because sometimes politics would show up in sports and you just kind of went, well, whatever. I mean, I guess that athlete feels passionate about that cause. Knock yourself out. I don't really care. But you know, I've talked to some other people. I've talked to people even in the sports podcast industry, and I've asked them this question. Do you like politics in sports? And here is the answer that I have received more times than not. Well, yeah. Athletes should have a right to voice their opinion. Look, I'm not saying they shouldn't have that right. They absolutely should. Our Constitution guarantees them that right. I am saying this, though. I am saying it might not be the wisest thing to do. I want you to think about this. If you say you like politics and sports, let me ask you one more question. Do you like politics and sports? Or do you like your politics in sports? Because I just want you to imagine for a second. I want you to think about this. We say we like politics and sports, but what if the politics were politics that we completely disagree with, okay? I don't know your political affiliation. It doesn't really matter. But let's just say that someone like Russell Wilson walks to the podium to talk about his big victory, and he says, hey, it was a great team win today. We're really happy that we got it done. We're looking forward to trying to make a run of the playoffs. And also, just a quick reminder, abortion is murder, and marriage should be between a man and a woman only. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. You crossed the line, sir. Where do you get off? Keep your politics out of sports. You see what I mean? We keep seeing sports leagues and players and media personalities trying to drag politics into sports. Hey, I don't want politics at my Thanksgiving table with my own family, let alone at the bar watching the Super Bowl. But again, you can say, hey, if they're right, they can use that platform. But imagine this for a second. Let's say you went to a store, and as you checked out of that store, the cashier said, hey, thanks for shopping here. Make sure to vote no on prayer in schools. Wait, what? What did they just say? Okay, you keep your opinion to yourself, Becky. I don't need to hear that when I go to Target. And yet, sports are a business every bit as much as Target is. And there are people who continue to try to get politics involved with them at every turn. And for that reason, for being divisive, for being argumentative, for just trying to stir up animosity in a place where religion and background and race are irrelevant. I mean, sports are the ultimate meritocracy. If you can play, then you advance. If you can't, go home. Can we please stop trying to cause more strife right now? We don't need it. We have enough of that nonsense just in life. And to be clear, once again, no matter what side of the political aisle you are on, if you are for the vaccine or you are against it, if you are for the trial in Minnesota or against it, a trial, I might add, that had nothing whatsoever to do with sports, yet ESPN kept talking about it incessantly. No matter what side of the aisle you are on politically, whether you cheer for the blue team or whether you cheer for the red team, both teams have faults. Stop acting like your politics are the only thing that matters. Let's get back to the golden rule of treating others how we want to be treated. Dragging politics into sports, it is eventually going to make people shop at a different store. And for that reason, those people that drag their politics into sports, they are the ultimate turkey and the ultimate loser of 2021. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, be keeping you up to date with all that is happening in the world of sports. But you know what? We just might have to start turning some attention to basketball. We might have to talk a little bit about college hoops and the NBA and what we might be expecting from those two seasons this year. So be sure you stop by The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. Thank you for subscribing wherever it is you watch or listen. Thank you for checking out those new articles going up at DailyDoseSports.com. But most of all, thank you for sharing the podcast, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and have a very safe and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, big old booze head.